So what I want to do this evening is to look at the text. The text is in the chapter that we read earlier on. It's in Acts chapter 11, verse 24. And it concerns a man called Joseph, although I don't think we hardly ever call him Joseph. We know him best by his nickname. His nickname is Barnabas, son of encouragement. I think there are over 30 references to Barnabas altogether in the New Testament, and though he's a minor figure, I suppose, if you compare him to somebody like Peter or Paul or even John for that matter, nevertheless, there's quite a little bit on this man, quite a little bit that we can know about him. Well, as I've said, his name was Joseph. He came from Cyprus. He was John Mark's cousin. John Mark, of course, is the author of Mark's Gospel. The first reference to Barnabas is in Acts chapter 4, verses 36 and 37, where we learn how he sold a field that he owned, and he brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. He's the one, as we noticed in the reading, who went off to Tarsus to bring Paul to Antioch. Nobody else was very much bothered about Paul. He'd been forgotten, rather, but Barnabas remembered him, and he went and got him involved in the work. When Real Blessing came to Antioch, then Saul, Paul, however you want to refer to him, he was the one who Barnabas could see was needed in that situation. And of course, later on, the two of them became missionaries together, until there was this disagreement over John Mark. It was a little difficult, you know how it is when it's family members, it can be difficult. And there was a very sharp disagreement between Paul and Barnabas. Barnabas wanted to take John Mark on, give him a second chance, but Paul had been so disappointed with the way that John Mark had abandoned them during the first journey that he then went with Silas on his second missionary journey. Now, here in Acts chapter 11 and verse 24, we're told about Barnabas, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And then, referring to what happened in Antioch, much people was added unto the Lord. And so the context is that the church in Jerusalem, they learn that things have taken off in Antioch. Antioch is in Syria today, and even Gentiles that were coming, they weren't becoming Jews first and then becoming Christians. They were going straight, cutting out the middleman, if you like. They were becoming Christians straight away. And some in Jerusalem were a bit apprehensive about this. They weren't quite sure that you could leap all the way from being a complete pagan to being a Christian overnight. And so they sent Barnabas to Antioch to find out more. Verse 23, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave, or that they would remain true unto the Lord. What, you say, did Barnabas not see all the problems? Didn't he care then how much things were changing and how quickly they were changing? Well, Luke explains it to us. He says about Barnabas, he says he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit and faith. And an even greater number of people there in Antioch were brought to the Lord. So there's four things here, aren't there? So first of all, he was a good man. Secondly, he was full of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, he was full of faith, and then that additional bit of information that through him a great number of people were brought to the Lord. And I think it would be good for us to think about these things tonight and consider, well, am I anything like that? Am I even a little bit like that? I'm sure Luke mentions these things because he wants to hold up an example to us. You can't always read Acts and think, oh, well, that's there's a lesson to learn. Sometimes you just have to know, well, that's what happened. But Luke is writing with purpose, and I think he wants us to think about Barnabas and consider whether we might follow his example. So four things then. Number one, let's be good, like Barnabas, who was a good man. Let's be good, like Barnabas, who was a good man. Luke says it, doesn't he? Very plainly, he was a good man. Now, Luke doesn't throw phrases like that around in a random way. Some are in the habit of doing that. And if you listen to some people, then, well, everything and everyone is good. It's not just good, it's awesome, it's brilliant, it's amazing. Now, we need to be careful as we throw the adjectives about. There's always the danger of cheapening a word if you use it too much, you know, amazing and awesome and so on. I think when Luke says that Barnabas was good, he means it. He means he really was good. He was morally upright. He wasn't just a righteous man, but he was a good man. And I suppose at the back of his mind then, maybe I'm guessing a bit here, but you know, there's going to be this conflict later on between Barnabas and Paul. And Luke wants to make clear that Barnabas was not at all a bad man. He was a good man. One writer suggests we take the word good as representing, as presenting the more winning and persuasive form of holiness. I think that's a nice way of putting it. He wasn't just holy, Barnabas. He was a holy man, yes, but he was a good, he was a good man. Barnabas was holy, I'm sure that's true, but he was good as well. He was somebody you'd really want to have around, somebody you know would be a real help in any situation you find yourself in. There was a soldier during the American Revolutionary War. His name was John Eager Howard. It's an interesting middle name, isn't it? John Eager Howard. And in 1781, he was wounded in a bayonet charge in South Carolina. Now, he went on to be, he wasn't just a soldier, but he went on to be a politician serving in the National Senate. The Southern Army commander then, Major General Nathanael Greene, famously wrote about this man, Howard, that he was as good an officer as the world affords. He has great ability and the best disposition to promote the service. He deserves a statue of gold, no less than Roman or Grecian heroes. Now, there's not many people you say that about. He deserves a statue. I know statues are in the news, but forget that. A statue of gold, that's what this man deserves. I think you could say something like that about Barnabas then. He really was a good man, and he deserves to be remembered more than Julius Caesar, more than Alexander the Great, or anyone like that then. Well, let's think about this then. What do you need to be good? Well, I think you need at least four things in your life if you're going to be good. First of all, you need to follow God. You need to follow God. Now, I don't think it's an accident that in English, I don't know if you've ever made that mistake. You've meant to write good and you write God, or you mean to write you know, the other way around. But good and God are connected. And I don't think that's an accident, the fact that there's only one letter different. And on one occasion, someone approached Jesus, if you remember, and they asked him, good master, what good thing do I need to do? And you remember Jesus picked him up on that that word, good. He said, only God is good, he said. Do you realize that? Well, do you realize that? Only God is good. If we're going to be good, then we have to have God as our pattern. Is God loving? Well, we must be loving as well then. Is God compassionate and merciful? Well, we must be like that too. Does God tell it like it is? Well, we've got to be like that too. Whatever we see in God that can be echoed, of course, not everything could be echoed, but whatever we see that can be echoed must be echoed. And that's how Barnabas was, and that's how we should be. That rather eccentric commentator, you might have come across John Trapp. Well, John Trapp speaks somewhere of it being devilish to render evil for good, being brutish to pay back evil with evil. He says to render good for good is a good thing. Of course, it's a right thing. But he says to render good for evil, well, that's truly divine. And that's what we should be aiming at. So we need to follow God. Just give me one moment. One of the perils of preaching from home. There we are. We've sorted that out. So, secondly, we ought to have a good effect on others. That's the second thing we can say about somebody who's good, and he has a good effect on others. If a person is good, he will affect others for good. You read about Jesus, who truly was good, that he went about doing good. And there was something of that, I think, in Barnabas then. He had a good effect on people. You know, even when he disagreed with Paul about John Mark, he still took the trouble there to take John Mark along with him on his next journey. And in fact, the effect that he had on John Mark was so good that even Paul eventually has to say that Mark is useful to him. Perhaps, I don't know, it's difficult to judge it. Perhaps Paul didn't make the right judgment there. Perhaps Paul should have given John Mark a second opportunity. Certainly Barnabas did, and he had a good effect on John Mark. And then thirdly, if a person's good, they ought to be incorruptible. I think that is suggested, isn't it, in the idea of being good. If a person is truly good, then you can't corrupt them. Say Barnabas had been he'd been very kind, yes, very generous, but he tended to be jealous then. Say that was true of Barnabas. Luke speaks, you know how when you go through Acts, Luke talks about Barnabas and Paul, and then at a certain point it becomes Paul and Barnabas. Now, there's no hint that Barnabas was jealous of Paul at any point. And I don't think Luke would have written that Barnabas was good if he'd been a jealous man. And again, I think we must seek then to be incorruptible. Those who are not drawn into sin, whatever happens. That's the sort of people we ought to be. They say every man has his price. Well, maybe there are some people that there is no price. It doesn't matter what you promise them. They won't be corrupted. We should pray. This is one of the reasons to pray, isn't it? Every day, pray this. Lead us not into temptation. You know, the prayer is that God will show us the way out of every temptation. So, I mean, sometimes there's no easy way. You're just going to run. That's all you can do. Sometimes you can be a little bit more subtle, but you've got to find the way out. You've got to be incorruptible. And then, of course, the other thing about a good person is that such a person ought to be generous, positive, kind, whatever else is good ought to be there. Goodness, of course, always shows itself in particular ways. Now, with Barnabas then, Barnabas was a generous man, he was a kind man, he was a very positive sort of man. He was an encourager then. And if we're going to be good people, well, it's going to show itself in some definite way. You can't be sort of, you say, well, he's a good person. Well, what is he? What makes you say that? Well, there's nothing about him particularly. No, there's going to be something good about the person. Well, how is it with us then? How do you think about this, how do you think goodness is going to display itself in your life? We're not all preachers. We're not all particularly good at encouraging. I mean, I'd love to be an encourager, but and I've got to work at it, and we've all got to work at it, but I don't think that's my great strength, my great ability. What if it's giving? Say that's the thing that you can do. You can give. If we're good, and we all ought to seek to be good, then that goodness will show it in one way or another. Do you remember those words that Peter speaks there? Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4, at the beginning of that chapter, he says, "For as much then," he says, "as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men." Then he isn't follow evil human desires anymore, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. You've spent enough time, says Peter, in the past doing what pagans choose to do, when we walked in lasciviousness then, or debauchery, in lusts, excessive wine, revelings, carousing. abominable idolatries. You've done enough of that, says Peter. Get rid of those things. And then later on in verse 10 and verse 11 of that chapter, he says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. And each of you should use whatever gift that you have received to serve others as good stewards of the manifold grace of God, as good stewards of the grace of God as it comes in its various forms. So, for example, he says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, with the strength that God provides. That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Romans 12, very similar. We've got different gifts, says Paul, according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, whatever exactly that is, well, prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, teach. If it's encouraging, encouragement. If it's giving, give generously. If it's to lead, then do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Now, of course, a truly good man is not just good in public. He's not just good with Christian people, but he's good at home. He's good when he's with his family. That can find some of us out, can't it? He's good, too, when he's all on his own. To be truly good, then, you need to be good in every circumstance and in every situation. Now, I don't know if Barnabas was a particularly gifted man. He might not have been anything to look at, for all I know. I don't know how rich or how clever he was. It doesn't really matter for our purposes there. Luke's not interested in that. The Bible says he was good. And that's the thing there that matters. Andrew Fuller wrote about goodness when he was preaching about Barnabas. He says, value goodness above mental greatness, or greatness in gifts and parts. It's not wrong to cultivate gifts. On the contrary, it's our duty so to do. But desirable as these are, they are not to be compared with goodness. Goodness is the thing. So pray. I don't know if you pray this, but pray to God that you'll be good. Sounds such a simple prayer, isn't it? Pray that I'll be good today. Sounds like a child's prayer, doesn't it? Pray that I'll be good today. But pray that you'll be good. Work hard at being good and give yourselves to be good. So that's the first thing I want to say to you then this evening, drawing on what we read here of Barnabas. Let's be good like Barnabas, who was a good man. And then secondly, I want to say to you, let's be full of God's Spirit like Barnabas, who was full of the Holy Spirit. Luke goes on to say then that Barnabas was not only good, but he was full of the Holy Spirit. One writer says that Luke seems to be sort of working from the outside to the inside. I don't know if he's doing that. Maybe he is. Barnabas was good. Anybody could see that. If you met Barnabas, you knew he was good. But what made him good? Well, it was what was going on the inside that made that man good. He was full of the Holy Spirit. And that being full of the Spirit, well, we'll come to this, was that came then from his being full of faith. That's what made him a good person. Well, certainly goodness, as you know, is part of the fruit of the Spirit. But I think, probably speaking, what Luke is telling us here is something a little bit different about Barnabas. Luke says about Stephen, the first martyr. Well, what he says about Stephen, he says about Barnabas then that they were both filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you read Luke carefully, I don't know how well you know the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, the third Gospel, and the book of Acts, which he also wrote. In fact, it's quite a lot of the New Testament. A surprising amount was written by Luke. But you may have noticed then that he's got this special interest in the Holy Spirit. Those are the places to read about the Holy Spirit in Acts and in Luke's Gospel. So what does he mean here then when he says that Barnabas was full of the Holy Spirit? So, I mean, the picture, it's a very simple one, isn't it? It's about filling a vessel with liquid then. Now, of course, what you've got to remember is that the Holy Spirit is not a liquid. he's a person. And so I suppose what Luke is saying about Barnabas then is he was a man there whose whole life was pervaded by the Holy Spirit. The work of the Spirit came into everything that he did. The Spirit of God was over and under and in it all. It's all about the Spirit. And that's how he was good, of course. That's the root of it. He didn't quench the Spirit. He didn't grieve the Spirit. Rather, he did all that he could to stir up the Spirit within and to keep in step with the Spirit as he lived out his life. He was a careful man. He was a watchful, a thoughtful, a sensitive man. He was entirely under the influence of God. Not that he couldn't have been more so. I don't think Luke's saying he sort of reached perfection. No, he could have been more so. But Luke is saying that it was true with Barnabas to an eminent degree then. The Spirit was on him and in him and all about him in everything that he did. And once again, he's a striking example for us, isn't he? We should be aspiring then to be full of the Spirit like that. And then this third thing then, let's be full of faith like Barnabas, who was full of faith. The third thing then is that Barnabas was full of faith. So you go back and back then, what made him good? Well, it was the Holy Spirit then who pervaded his life then, and what lay behind his being filled with the Spirit, well, there was this great faith in the Lord. Now, we dare not underestimate the power of faith, and it is a central mark of the man who is truly given over to God. It was faith that lay behind Barnabas's ability to do good. It was faith that made him the generous person that he was, that made him the encourager, the incorruptible individual that he was. Why are people not better than they are? What stops them from being better? Well, often it's a lack of faith. I can't be generous, some of us have to admit, because I may miss out myself. Well, that's a lack of faith, isn't it? I can't be an encourager. Why would anybody be encouraged by me anyway? I can't resist sin. Why? Well, because you don't trust God to save you. That's the problem. So Barnabas wasn't like that. He lay hold on God in Christ, and he wasn't going to let go. He knew the gospel, and he believed it. He was thoroughly persuaded the gospel is true. He loved with others. Remember Hebrews chapter 11, we get that long list, all those great examples of faith in the, well, they're from the Old Testament, they're drawn. And here's another example, an example of faith. Barnabas, who was full of faith. Faith is vital there. Is your trust in Jesus Christ? Are you leaning entirely on Jesus Christ? Are you living by faith? That's the way that we ought to live. And so then one more thing we can say, fourthly, well, let's pray then that many people will come to the Lord, as happened in Barnabas's day. Don't miss that final reference then at the end. And a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Now, we long to see that happening. I trust we do. We often think, what can we do to encourage it? Should we? I don't know what sort of church you are, whether you think, well, should we try that? Should we try this other thing? We hear about a church doing something. Well, that seems to work. Let's have a go at that. I don't know if you like that. I think the underlying message here is that if we really want to see the kingdom of God advance, if we really want to see a great number of people being brought to the Lord, the very best thing that we can do is to seek to be good people, people filled with the Holy Spirit and full of faith. I think that will have more impact than any, I don't know what you're thinking of, maybe a campaign or a film show, or whatever. I don't know what you might think of. But those are the things, surely, that will really make the difference. Well, let's pray and commit ourselves to the Lord once again. Lord, we do thank you for this man, Barnabas. We don't know very much about you, but we know that he was good. We know he was full of the Holy Spirit. we know that he was full of faith, and that you used him then, not just him, but him with others then, to bring a large number of people to the Lord in his day. And we long to see that sort of thing happening. So we pray that we also might be good people, that we might be full of the Holy Spirit, where we do nothing to quench the Spirit or to grieve him, but we pray that we might be full of faith and walk with God all our days. Amen.